no hard skills that was made me a suitable candidate. What I had is like simply enthusiasm and a desire to learn. And not every friend has to fulfill every role. I think that's also important. Like, some friends are there to support you in your emotional ups and downs. Some friends are there to have lunch with you. Some friends are there to have sport with you. We actually met through Couchsurfing. And Couchsurfing is an app where you can basically travel the world and stay with strangers and stay on their couch, stay wherever they have a spare place.
Hello everyone, my name is Timur and this is UT Journeys, amazing new series where we sit with inspiring students to talk about their lives, motivation, and most importantly, how you can enhance your study journey. And today we're having a talk with Nina Stevenson, who used to be a mechanical engineering student at UT. Now she works at Holt, and today she's going to give her opinion on how to be an ambitious student. Hello, Nina.
Hey, Tim.
How are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
I'm also good. And, you know, let's start with the first question.
Okay.
Right? You are an alumni of UT at this point, right?
Yes, I guess you could say that.
Yeah,
I am.
Yeah, you graduated mechanical engineering last year?
Yep, in August 2023.
And how did your life change afterwards?
Life changed. Well, obviously didn't have any more uni, and well, like literally the next day. So I graduate on the 31st of August, and my full-time contract started on the 1st of September. So it was one day from the next. And I guess it was a smooth transition because I was already working where I got my full-time contract. I'd been working there 3 days a week. But yeah, so that's how it changed. I went into full-time work at a company locally in Almelo. But that was a change.
I was about to ask, how did you find like the job initially?
I found the job initially because I had a conversation with the guy who's the CEO of a venture capitalist company. And the venture capitalist company was about to invest in a startup, which is a startup in wooden buildings, so wooden office buildings specifically. And I was chatting with him and I kind of told him that my interests don't fully lie in mechanical engineering, although I've done the training. I will have done the training. What my interests really are is about the environment. I'm really, really passionate about doing good for the world and making good change. And I'm also maybe not the stereotypical mechanical engineer in like the amount of creativity that I have, which I think a lot of the mechanical engineering is very theoretical, very within the box, yes or no. And I love that rationality, but I also really, really love out of the box thinking, creativity. And so I fell into this position just because I don't have a background in architecture. I don't have a background in structural engineering. But I just told him, I'm so happy to learn. Like, if there's anything I can learn, I'm so, so, so happy to do so. So he just said, cool, meet this guy who's founding the company. I met him and we just started working from there. So that was what I started alongside my study. And I was sort of the design, the concept engineer. So we went from ground zero. We spoke with we had a couple of advisors who were giving us advice on the heating ventilation systems and how we could combine this with a wooden building system. And we right now have designed a modular system for building buildings so that a real estate developer can theoretically come and use a digital system to click, 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 print a building. That's the concept.
That sounds quite innovative, right?
Yeah. Innovative, like the wooden building industry is really growing very quickly because the construction industry is the most polluting industry in the world. It contributes 40% of greenhouse gas emissions yearly. And so with the Paris Agreement in a lot of people's mind, a move towards a more sustainable construction industry is really, really necessary. So because the trees which are used in the wood can obviously absorb carbon dioxide during their lifetime, it means that the overall life cycle analysis or like the overall carbon storage of the building throughout its lifetime is much less than if that was made from concrete or steel.
And can you tell me a little bit more about your work environment and how do you find your job in general?
Work environment, I love it. Like, for the most time, I love it. What I liked the most is I had the opportunity to do a little bit of everything. And I think that is how my brain thinks, is it's very often seeing the bigger picture. So in the morning, I might be drawing some walls, drawing some doors. In the afternoon, I might be calculating some beam deflections, something like this. The next day, I might be looking at the system architecture and how we can combine this with the software. And the next day, I might be speaking to a guy who's going to survey the land, or then looking at talking to developers who might rent the building. And every day is a little bit different. And for me, the variety is so necessary for my enjoyment. And also the fact that I can learn. Like, I think for me, this is my number one joy of life, is being able to learn. So the fact that in my job, I can just learn, even if it's just like learning the language of Dutch, I can learn, even if it's looking at my colleagues and seeing how they introduce themselves to people, how they hold themselves. That's the way I can learn. For me, that's in abundance, and this makes me very, very happy.
And do you feel like university projects were kind of a trial for real work, or they were not that useful?
I think they could have been a trial for real work if you see it that way. Like, I think for me, unfortunately, I didn't put this connection together. I felt like university was disconnected from real life and real work. So I saw the university projects more like an assignment. Let's get done, and let's get it done before the deadline, versus like how I hold myself in work is very much more, let's be as proactive as possible, and let's do this in as much depth and quality as possible. Whereas with university, I usually felt it's more like, let's do what we have to do to get by. So I think that is my, like, a mistake that I made, and I probably could have taken a lot more knowledge and learning from the projects if I had seen them differently, viewed them differently, and applied myself a little bit differently.
And why do you think this change happened?
I think, like, at the end of the day, what I'm doing now is going to be a real thing. So in my projects with Mechanical, we were designing cranes. Super cool, but the cranes never get built. We were working with companies who we got told, oh yeah, you'll actually go to the company after you've, you know, done the assignment. Never went to the company. We were designing solar, like, really cool things, but things that will never happen. I'm like, what I'm doing now, I have to be accountable for what I'm doing, because this building will really get built. And for me, that, like, the realness of what is happening makes my attitude very different from, we're doing this for the sake of doing it. Like, nothing is going to come from this. Okay, our intrinsic learning, which is a very special thing, but for me, I'm very much like a hands-on person and a practical person. So the theoretical, we're just doing this to build our theoretical knowledge. I find it harder to learn that way versus educate myself also in a theoretical way to establish the tools and the knowledge needed to actually do something practical in real life.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds fair, I guess. Like, I think it's the same for most people.
Yeah, I think some people can connect to the theoretical side of things better, and other people, yeah, perhaps, but I'm sure for everyone it is a bit of a step up when it is something that will really take place or has a bit more meaning. Yeah.
Was there a change in responsibilities? Do you feel more responsible for things you are doing right now at your job, or?
Yes. Like, there was just two or three of us on the team. So what I was doing really would be pointed back to me, you know, like I felt I had to take the responsibility on, because there is a small number of people, we know each other as individuals, and we want this project to succeed. So definitely there I had more responsibility, but it was interesting because I juggled that whilst doing my thesis, and my thesis held, I had responsibility to myself versus the job. I had responsibility to myself to do a good job, but also to other people who were relying on my work, who were relying on waiting to receive something from me, or the program that I use, they needed information from that. And I did find it very interesting to notice within myself, where does my priority go? Does my priority go to what I need to do for myself, or to what I need to do for other people? And I had to actually really intentionally say, no, Nina, you need to work on your thesis. Although someone else isn't relying on you to get it done, you are relying on you to get it done, and you need to see it through. And in the end, a lot of the times I wanted to say, hey, forget about the thesis. Let's just do real job. This is so fun. What's the thesis needed for? But it was needed for me to show myself, you know, to make something complete and to put the university time behind me in a positive way.
What do you think were the skills you had that were the most useful for you in your job?
Desire to learn, like 100%. To be honest, I had no skills. I had no hard skills that was made me a suitable candidate. What I had is like simply enthusiasm and a desire to learn. And I believe this will take anybody further than, like, of course, be able to code, be able to do calculus. These things are important, but I think what will always, more than a million people can code. Like a lot of people can code, you know? But not a lot of people can really say, hey, I'm so passionate about this. I'm so enthusiastic. I want to put all of my drive and desire and people skills. I think the combination of soft skills and hard skills, of course, I have the base in engineering, and I think this is a very good foundation to have for the rest of my life, and I'm very lucky to have that. But I think, like, very simply, desire to learn and enthusiasm.
Yeah, I feel like most of employers, when they're looking for new candidates, it's one of the most important things for them, like how motivated are the applicants actually.
Especially like more and more of our world is getting run by technology. And technology will always be able to do these hard skills in some way, some certain way. But like what technology will never be able to have is personality. Well, perhaps it will in some certain form, but it won't be able to be a human. And the essence that a human can bring, I think that will, down the line, be a quality that will stand out more and more.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, with all the AI things happening today. Yeah.
Yes, mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you're saying that current students should show that they're passionate about things they're doing while looking for work?
I think students should build the hard skills, you know, do well at their university, but like also work on themselves, make themselves an interesting person. Like, it's for my personal view is like, spend every day of your life in the library. You'll be very clever. You'll pass a lot of tests, but like, what do you have to show in your character? Like, how does that build to your character? Getting out in the world, doing something, building mental resilience, and having hobbies and having interests is what will build your character. So I think finding a balance of these two, one doesn't exist without the other, but you can't have just one and you can't have just the other. So I think for me, yeah, to build your character is an important part of it as well.
Okay, you mentioned soft skills are quite important. Mm-hmm. And what were the activities that made you get those soft skills?
I think it wasn't activities per se, but I think it was just that comes with the variety of living life and living a full life that is unique to you and yourself. So I think there's not such like a blueprint for developing soft skills. For me personally, I would say there's not certain activities that built those, but I think it was actually more the mistakes that I made. So even one of the mistakes that I made initially was not doing enough activities and probably being a little bit disconnected from like my purpose and what I'm doing here at university. And the act of making that mistake and assessing that and being aware of that and then making adjustments, I feel like it's in that process that you build character and that you build the soft skills that make you stand out and make you different from the crowd, that add the mountains and the valleys to your life. That for me, that is the character, rather than doing everything perfectly. Not to say intentionally mess things up, but to be brave enough to live life fully enough that you have the possibility to mess things up. And then you inevitably will mess things up, but then you make them better, and in making them better, you make them better than they could have ever been if you hadn't initially messed them up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely does make sense to me, at least. Mm-hmm. Hope for the listeners too. That's a deep thought, you know.
Fair. I think that adds like just color to your life, and that kind of color is then visible in how you interact with people. And I think it then, when you leave university, you have more depth to you than if you'd never made a mistake. I think if you never make a mistake, you've never pushed yourself hard enough, you know? Mm-hmm. Or you've never like allowed yourself to fall. And I think it is so necessary and so real that we will make mistakes. And if you try not to make them, you're controlling life, and this will only make things worse. And you're imagining that you can do something perfectly, which is just delusional. And maybe in certain situations you feel like, oh, I can do this perfectly, or I won't send this until it's perfect. And even myself at work, it was an adjustment I needed to make, was to just do it. Just send it, just get it done. Send it before it's ready, you know, but just send it. And that made me uncomfortable. And the more I've, it's really a clear lesson to me from work, is that perfection doesn't exist and things don't happen if you are striving for perfection. Things will happen if you are actually making them happen and allowing them to not be perfect. And by allowing them not to be perfect, you send them out into the real world, you get feedback to make them better. And they become better than your idea of perfection would have ever been.
Yeah, I think this thought is, might be thought-provoking, you mm-hmm. know, for some students who are striving, you know, to make everything as good as they can.
Yeah, and it's understandable, like, our grades are in a linear system, and there is 10, and 10 can be defined as you did it perfectly. But this is just one system that has been created that isn't representative of real life. It's like, it's one linear thing for a certain few variables which relate to the test that is very isolated from everything else that's going on and what you will really encounter in life.
And you mentioned that everyone makes mistakes. And mm-hmm. What do you think were your mistakes in uni life?
My mistake in life?
Uni life. Life.
Okay, uni life. in uni life, I think, man, not taking advantage of the huge, huge, huge number of opportunities that are available. Every single day there are really talented, clever, motivated students and people around you everywhere. And that is an opportunity in itself, is just having conversation with the thousands of people who are in this environment, who are here to learn, who are here to move their life forward. That's an incredible opportunity that I didn't take advantage of enough. You know, in my first years, I was like a little hermit. I was like, okay, I'm here to do my own thing. let's study, let's go home. Let's study, let's go home. But there's activities, there's associations, there's interesting people, there's projects that you can initiate or you can join. It's an absolute minefield of opportunity. And if you're not actively seeking that opportunity and you're letting opportunities just pass you by because you think you're different or because you think you're better or not worthy in any kind of way, this is a mistake. And that was a mistake that I made, definitely, was feeling that, like, a lot of the time I'm not clever enough to do that, or I'm not like focused enough to do that, or I'm just not the sort of person who would do that. But when I got to the end and I started trying to put myself out there a bit more, which was helped through friends who, like, encouraged you, then that really changed. But I think in combination with that, it is also to be intentional about the people you are surrounding yourself with. They really do have an influence in you, whether you like it or not. It's just a natural sort of phenomena, is that we do become like the people we are surrounding ourselves with. So we can be lucky that at university, generally, we have a population of motivated people who are here to learn. But still within that, to be intentional about the people you surround yourself with, these people will either motivate you, inspire you, and encourage you, or bring you to their level. And you have to be, like, that's your responsibility, to put yourself in the environment you want to be, where you can learn the most and where you can thrive as an individual.
Yeah, I know the phrase, like, show me your friend and I'm going to tell you who you are, kind of. Yeah.
No, 100%. I believe in that so strongly. And that's not to, like, close the door to anybody. I believe that, like, every single individual has value. But it's about you knowing where do you want to go. And you knowing, like, who's going to drain your energy and who's going to fuel your energy in the direction you want to be going. And the direction you want to be going will be different to a lot of people, other people's directions. So to be mindful of that.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like for most people, it's quite challenging to, you know, understand whether their friends are, you know, right, kind of, mm-hmm. for their self-improvement.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and not every friend has to fulfill every role. I think that's also important. Like, some friends are there to support you in your emotional ups and downs. Some friends are there to have lunch with you. Some friends are there to have sport with you. Like, every individual has their own, like, value that, again, if you're aware and intentional and conscious about it, not to be taking something from the other person, but no one needs to be dismissed. It's just, and no one needs to be perfect. But for me, the simplest way to put it is, like, how do you feel after you've spent a couple of hours with this person? Do you feel, like, joyful and inspired and motivated? Or do you feel less good? And I think just to be aware of how you feel when you're surrounded by these people is I think a helpful enough clue without having to really overthink it.
I cannot agree more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
it is super powerful.
Yeah, and you don't ever have to be like, you know, no, and you don't ever have to really, like, I don't believe you really have to cut people out, but at every moment we have it. Yeah, we have that responsibility and that ability to make a decision of where am I? Where am I putting my energy? Which people am I interacting with?
Mm. Yeah, and do you have like an example when you feel like your friend influenced you, for instance, to do something? To sign up for something, maybe.
Yeah, like I have the positive version of it. It was my friend Radhika. We actually met through Couchsurfing, and Couchsurfing is an app where you can basically travel the world and stay with strangers and stay on their couch, stay wherever they have a spare place.
And where did you stay?
No, so I've actually had the app since I was in South America some years ago. And I used it really frequently. And since in Enschede, I just use it to welcome people. But Radhika, we just got in contact because she saw that I was in Enschede. So sent me a message. Hey, I see you're from the UK. Sound very interesting. Would you like to go for a walk? So we met up and just became really good friends. Exactly. She had a really, really good energy. Something that I really felt uplifted by. And one day she said, hey, Nina, I think you'd be great for this UIF, University Innovation Fellows. Why don't you submit yourself? And actually, 1 year previously, I had written out the whole application form, but I was 1 day late to sending it. So I missed the deadline. And I was like, okay, what the hell? Like, that's gone. That's done with. And she was part of UIF, and this was before I'd met her. And then she just out of the blue said, Nina, I think you'd really fit this role. I think this would be something fun for you. And yeah, just having her support, having that as an encouragement, encouraged me to do it, as I'd already wanted to. But then in the year previous version, I was on my own. You know, it was just my own kind of idea. And I think it's very different when you then have a friend who really wants to support you, and just that extra little tiny, tiny little bit of encouragement from a friend can really make all the difference. So I think, for example, someone like Radhika really positively influenced my life in, that's one example, you know? So that I can't remember exactly the question you asked, but that's a way that a good choice in friend, and a friend who energizes me and makes me feel good, made a positive influence on my life. Because this is one ripple, and then what UIF did for me was the ripples getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So one action can have a lot of after effects, so I was really happy for that.
And are you doing any other activities? Where are you doing any other activities at uni, like sports wise maybe?
I played hockey, but like on and off. I found hockey difficult because I love hockey. So it was actually part of the reason I came here to the Netherlands, is because the Netherlands is world renowned for field hockey. I mean, a lot of people think ice hockey, but field hockey. But obviously in my first years, I was a little bit disorganized, and I actually found it difficult to go to the same place the same time every single week. And so I dipped in and out, and I also found hockey was a very, very Dutch group of people. Not so many internationals played hockey, and I very much felt like an outsider for not being able to speak Dutch. I do think now I speak much better Dutch and my experience would be different. But, and I think this is also part of the change that has happened within myself over the years at university. When I was in first year, my reaction to something not being so good, so me not fitting into the hockey because I didn't speak Dutch, meant that I moved away a little bit. But now my mindset would more be, okay, what could I do to make a change here? How could more international students like me feel welcome in this sort of environment? And this is a very powerful shift in my mindset, is I'm not unique in this feeling. I'm not the only person who's going through this, which used to be very easy for me to feel, okay, I'm very strange, I'm very different, I must be the only person who's had this experience. But now I'm like, I'm of course unique, but like, there's no way I can be the only person having this experience. And if I'm having this experience and it's not positive, what can I do to change it so that people who come after me can have a better experience than what I've had? And that's a very nice, empowered kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so now you feel like you are ready to take action in a way.
Yes, more someone who would like to take action than someone who floats through life. Like, yeah, I used to be a bit more of a floater, and now I'm a bit more of a, I'm here, what can I do kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice. Yeah.
Okay, and can you tell me a little bit more about your work experience? Like, where did you work?
Yeah,
that sort of thing.
Basically, I started university after I'd already been in full-time employment for a couple of years. And so I'd been in full-time employment, I'd saved a lot of money, I'd kind of gone traveling for about a year, and then from there, I came to university. So I was already sort of financially on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a small amount of savings, but not something that would last me my whole degree. So as soon as I was here, I got a job with the university, which was taking students around. So it was called Student for a Day Guide. So people who would like to study mechanical engineering, I would just take them along to my classes and get given however many euros each day that I did. And this was a pretty easy job to balance with studying, because you just do exactly what you would do. You go to your classes, you go to the library, you have lunch, but someone is just there, a new friend. So that was very nice. Whilst I did that, I also worked at a little animal farm in the north of Enschede. That was very, very nice. I grew up on a farm. I grew up in the countryside, so to be outside, to be working, was very fun. I got fired from that job. but that was whatever. It is what it is. So then I got a job at a little hotel, a little like guest house in Enschede, and that was just cleaning, doing a few stuff with the booking, but most of my jobs are very non-mechanical engineering related, which is something I probably regret. I think if you need to earn money, it would be great if you could do that in combination with something that's more related to your future, but nonetheless, it's building character, isn't it? So I did the hotel job for a little while, then came the time where I took a break from studying, and at that time I really, really needed a job, as in I really needed to earn a bit more money. So I got a job very, very luckily, so luckily. I was going for a run, as in like a run, and I just saw this huge greenhouses, and I was like, you know what, why don't I just go in and ask them if they need people? So I ran in and I said, hey, is the boss around? And someone pointed me to the boss, and I said, yeah, hey, do you need someone to work, because I would like to work. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, you know, I've got experience, because I grew up in the countryside, I have no experience, but I could say, okay, my granddad, he worked with flowers. But again, enthusiasm. I was enthusiastic. I do love plants. But I was enthusiastic, and he said, okay, come on Monday, let's see how you are. So I went on Monday, was a nice environment. I got on with the people, and he said, okay, cool, sign me a contract. So I started there full time, which was pretty intense, of like 5 to 6 days a week of like manual labor. And disabled people, a lot of disabled people also worked in the greenhouses. So when COVID hit, none of the people with disabilities were allowed to come into work. So for that reason, it was really important that I continued working, which was really, really lucky, because a lot of people became quite aimless when COVID hit, just being stuck in a room. But for me, I had a reason to go out of my house every single day. So it was quite a blessing. And I continued that for quite a time. Even then, when I started studying again, I would just do Friday and Saturday at the greenhouses, and Monday to Thursday I was studying. I did still find it difficult, because that meant that probably I had to do Sunday studying. So with these jobs, of course, you're earning money, but then your free time becomes very, very limited. And not everyone was in the same position. For example, in the question of what activities did I do, part of the reason I didn't do so many activities is because I was working. And I think if you have the abilities to do other activities, they're very enriching, very good for your personal growth. But yeah, greenhouses, again, I stopped there. Could say, yeah, miscommunication, whatever. my next job was then, student assistant a little bit, and then hold. So that's when then I got involved with the construction company. And that was really nice because that was my first job. In England, I'd worked a couple of jobs in like factories. So I had experience in something more engineering related, but this was my first job in the Netherlands, having studied mechanical engineering in the engineering field. So that was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so even though you tried quite some jobs, but you still ended up in a good place.
Yeah, yeah, I did. I think you always will, but yeah. I think like, honestly, it's so true. If it's not good, it's not the end. Like, it's just not the end. Like everything, like I just believe that every single thing will be good in the end. And if you feel like it's not good, just keep going because it's not the end yet. That for me like rings very strong in my mind. If something doesn't feel good, just keep going. Like don't keep doing the same thing over and over, but keep your life moving forward, and at some point it will always finish good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is very powerful for people who are feeling maybe a little bit lost, you know, maybe something is not going that well for them. And yeah, this kind of idea is enriching.
Yeah, and I definitely felt lost. Like there was a lot of times during my university where I was like, what the hell am I doing here? How am I gonna finish? How am I gonna finish? I asked that a lot. Should I finish? And having finished, the fact that I felt like at a lot of times, how can I finish? How can I do this? How could I do this? This is too difficult. If you have those feelings and you overcome them, the finish is so much more meaningful. So I really, really encourage people who do feel like they're struggling, just understand that when you get to the top of the mountain, to look back on your struggle and know that you continued will reward you immensely, immensely. And I think when you are struggling and when you are in this place, you don't need to know where you're going. You just need to put one step forward and just do that one thing that you can see. Because if you're feeling lost, it's like the whole room is dark. There's no way you can see your goals. You can't see the end point. You can't see anything other than your feet. So in those times, for example, okay, I know I've got to study this thing. So just do that and get it done. And then once you've done that, move on to the next thing. What's the next thing I need to do or I can do? Or I, you know, one step off, like the top of the ladder is a lot of tiny, tiny, tiny steps. And I think I found that very helpful. Just put one step forward.
I think this is a good thought to end with.
Oh, cool. Really? Wow.
Thank you a lot for joining.
Oh, that's, you're welcome. Thank you for inviting me. I was honored. I screamed when I saw your message. When I saw the invitation, I was like in a group. I was actually in the UIF group. And I was like, oh my God, podcast. I was very happy. Thank you. Cool.
Cool.
Cool.